إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد إن سورة الضحى الله سبحانه وتعالى said to النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى. He said to him that what I have for you in the Akhira is much better than what you have here in this dunya. I would like to remind you and myself that inshallah this is the bashara for all the mu'mineen. For anyone who lives by Islam and who dies on Islam, this is the bashara that whatever he may or she may have had in this dunya, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for them in the akhirah is much better. The reason I'm saying this is because two reasons. Firstly, one of the major reasons why we get embroiled and engrossed in this dunya is because of our own weak faith in the akhirah. And we live in this dunya as if this is all there is. And therefore, the focus is on trying to accumulate as much material and as much, positions or whatever authority and so on in this dunya as we can. And of course, Allah knows, most people really accumulate very little, in spite of all their efforts. And in terms of power and authority, they get even less. So after all of that, the result is pathetic, to put it kindly. And yet we run behind it the whole time. And that's because of our own weak faith in the akhirah. On the other hand, if we focused on building the akhirah, which also has to be built in this dunya, the palaces in the Jannah are built in this dunya. They are not built when we go to Jannah, inshallah. When we go to Jannah, they are already there because you built them from here. That we don't focus on. And that is why you have the very strange phenomenon of Muslims. For example, just to give one example, Muslims spending vast amounts of money on entertainment and on absolutely ridiculous things, and being reluctant to spend even small amounts of money on things which are of real value, on education, for example, or on economic development, on social upliftment of people who are socially deprived. We don't want to spend money for that, right? At the most, we might give our zakat, honestly, and then we think that we are doing a great favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you paid zakat. But the reality of life is that, as I have said many times before, zakat is the cleaning of the maal, is the cleaning of the wealth, right? If you did not give zakat, then your wealth is not halal, and your iman is in a matter of doubt. So you are giving zakat to prove that you are Muslim and to clean your wealth. But anyone who has any faith in the akhirah must always spend more than zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because otherwise where is this proof of this faith in the akhirah? And what we leave behind we will be questioned about, and what we send ahead of us we will be rewarded for. So we know this, and at least we say we know this. So if we do this, if we know this, then we need to actually invest and actually put our money where our mouth is and put our efforts where our mouth is, so that we actually build this akhirah. And then the akhirah will be better than what we have in this world. Second reason I'm saying this and reminding myself anew is because when somebody dies, the bereavement, the parting, it's painful, no doubt. But the reality which the Muslim must understand is that that person, if he or she died on Iman, has gone to a far better and superior place than they were here. So yes, we feel sad, we feel sorry that, our brother, sister, whoever it was, father, mother, son, daughter, died and, left us. But to continue to live in that state of depression and to continue to live in the state of grief is also a sign of lack of faith in the Akhirah. Because if you really believe that this companion of yours died on Iman, inshallah, then he or she went to a better place, far better place. There is not even any comparison between what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has and what we have, or what you or I have or could have given to that person. So what's all this, you know, great grief about? Alhamdulillah, there is a level of grief with regard to the parting. But it's like, ta'ala lahul amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any examples that we can give. But like if somebody gets a job, and we have had many of our youngsters, alhamdulillah, who come to this masjid, who alhamdulillah got very nice jobs, and you know, one of them, Hassan Jishan, is now in Makkah in a very good job, alhamdulillah. So what should we do? Sit here and cry? No, we feel good for him. Alhamdulillah, I miss him because he was one of our most regular people, absolutely regular in Salatul Fajr. There's not a day that boy would miss Salatul Fajr. May Allah bless him and may Allah grant him darajat in the dunya and akhirah, inshallah. But so we miss him. We miss the fact that we miss his company. But should we grieve? I mean, he's got a beautiful job, alhamdulillah, in a very good company in Makkah. What more do you want? I mean, he can go and make tawaf anytime he likes, and I know he does it because he's inclined that way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him to put him in that place. So alhamdulillah, he went from here to a place which is much better, so we are happy for him. Alhamdulillah, we miss him. Both are equally there, and that is one very important thing therefore to remember, that when there is a parting, when somebody dies, then some level of grief and some level of feeling sad is natural, tabi'i, because we miss our friend, we miss whoever it is. But to carry it to a level where, you know, now you have, effectively you are destroying your own life, this is nonsense. This is not from Islam. And this is not something that a Muslim should do. And it's a sign of a weakness of faith in the Akhirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused every single child of his to die in his lifetime, except one. Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu anha was the only child of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who survived him. Every single child of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, son or daughter, died in his presence in his lifetime. Not one, multiple, many of them. His most beloved wife, Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, died in his presence. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have saved him all that grief. Hey? All of this, and Allah knows why he did what he did. I'm not trying to interpret what Allah did and why he did it, but my understanding is also to teach us a lesson, to say, how do you deal with grief? Are we trying to say that we love our children and we love our spouses and so on more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved them? No. But how did he deal with grief? Not because he was hard-hearted, but he couldn't care less. No. But there is his level of belief and faith in the Akhirah. His level of belief and faith in the Akhirah. And this is the thing for us to understand. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. That inshallah, and that's the reason also for us to live in this world according to the Quran and Sunnah, so that inshallah our Akhirah will be better than what we have here. Both for ourselves, to believe this for ourselves, and therefore also to continue to invest in the Akhirah, as well as to believe this about our friends and relatives who die, so that we are able to deal with that grief in a positive manner, and we don't allow that to drag us down to a point where, which is ridiculous. I mean, there has to be a difference between how a Muslim feels about death and how somebody who does not understand death and hereafter, how that person feels about death. There should be some difference. We understand what is death. We understand what happens after death. And inshallah, for the Muslim, a person who lives on Islam and a person who dies on Islam, because there is no other way of dying on Islam. If you want to die on Islam, you have to live on Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, do not die except in a state of Islam. Right? And how can you ensure that you die only in a state of Islam? By living in a state of Islam. You can't suddenly, one minute before you are dying, you suddenly become a Muslim. Especially since we don't know when that is going to happen. So therefore, it is very important for us to put these things in perspective. So we understand that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us from His treasures when we meet Him, and to give us from His treasures in this life, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to the realities of the beautiful beauty of this deen, so that we can live in this life in a very happy and contented manner. And when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, that contentment will be vastly increased because of what we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us. And we expect this on this basis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I am for my slave what He expects of me. And we expect nothing but absolutely the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.